Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the man, the legend, the myth, not in necessarily in that order, the captain, Jack Barry. Jack, my friend, it is good to be with you. How are you?
Possible fugitive of the law, according to states.
You know, I mean, we're still waiting.
Oh my gosh.
We're still waiting to see. There's still that like 0.5% chance that you actually did do it, you know, and you just you've been playing a long game, man.
There's already evidence.
You've been doing some spec ops, man. Some spec ops that
I wouldn't know anything about spec ops.
Oh, sure. That's exactly what a spec op guy would say, too.
That's
exactly what a spec op guy would say. It's always the ones that brag about it that didn't actually do it. It's the ones that don't talk about it. Those are the ones you got to worry about. Yeah. Like, what? What'd you do during the war? Ah, not much. I was more of a paper guy. Like, oh,
paper
okay. You killed lots of people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Jack, it's good to be with you. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot. It's been a busy week.
Yeah, how'd your preaching go?
Lord's Day? Fine. Yeah. We've been going through 2 Timothy. So, preached on suffering last week. So, Paul talking about sharing and suffering. Mm-hmm. So, nice light topic. I think it went well, and I'm starting my prep now for this coming Sunday, and then I get 2 weeks off. Both the other elders are taking a week each, so preach the Sunday, and I get a couple weeks of rest, and then hop back in. So looking forward to that. But Jack, we've got a lot to get to this episode. Lot to get to. First off, let's continue. Well, not continue, but let's make our listeners aware again that we currently have a giveaway going on. Mm-hmm. We have our 300th episode is coming up, Jack, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
300 eps. You and I have been doing this a while. And in honor of that 300th episode, we have a giveaway going on, and we have partnered with the Pactum Podcast and Broken Wharf book distributors, bookstore, one of the two. Amazing books. Yeah. And they are sponsoring our 300th episode and doing a giveaway. They're the Pactum threw a bunch of books in, Broken Wharf threw some books in, we're throwing some swag in. All of the details are pinned to the top of our profiles on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure to go over there and get in on the amazing giveaway that we're doing, because it's pretty awesome. We've got some really cool stuff over there. And then on top of that, make sure that if you are looking to get some incredibly awesome confessional reformed literature, head on over to Broken Wharf
and use the promo code Reformatory for 10% off your purchase throughout the entire month of August. Dude, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
All month of August, you're getting 10% off with that Reformatory code. So make sure to go support, support small business, support Broken Wharf, get some amazing resources, use the promo code Reformatory so they know who sent you, and head on over to their socials and get yourself in on the giveaway. All the rules and prizes and all the information's all over there. So go check that out. Jack, we have some more business to take care of. We've got a couple new patrons.
Some
legendary individuals that have decided to bequeath to the Reformatory a fiver, their hard-earned cashola, and join the ranks of the most exclusive Patreon that exists, at least in Reformdom. Let's be fair. We got to shout out our new patrons. It's debatable. We got to shout out our new patrons, though. We have Sirs. I believe it's Matthias. I believe that's how I might be saying it wrong. It's M-A-T-H-E-U-S.
I think it's that as well, too.
I think it's Matthias. So I'm going to go with Matthias. If I'm saying it wrong, I'm sorry. I'm American? I don't know. But I know for a fact Matthias is in the good old UK.
He's a Brit. He's over there supporting the Reformatory with his hard-earned euros.
Sorry. That was really bad. I'm sorry, Matthias. Matthias is like, well, canceling. We had him for a week. We had Matthias for a week, and then I insulted all of UK.
Fell off.
Well, you know what? Good riddance, then. Get out of here.
It sounds like a Harry Potter groundskeeper.
Harry. There's a troll in the dungeon. It's Tuesday. Blimey, Harry Potter.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so sorry. I'm just excited. I'm glad Matthias is here. Matthias Tarvito, cool dude. Really cool dude. He's been following the Reformatory for a while. He's one of our OG like Instagram followers, listeners. He's been part of the family for a good long while. So,
dude, that guy could probably drive and find Broken Wharf and just buy their stuff.
He probably could. It's probably in his neck of the woods. So that's super cool. Matthias, welcome. Welcome. One more. Arthur Ramsey. Dude, you don't hear the name Arthur a whole lot anymore.
No.
It's a good name.
A lot of arts. I know quite a few arts.
Yeah, most people abbreviate it. Mm-hmm. But he's going full Arthur. I like it. I like the name Arthur. I'm going to call him King Arthur.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
We're keeping the UK.
You really King want Arthur. UK theme this episode.
I am, dude. I don't know. Broken Wharf has got me all excited, you know? Like, Matthias, look.
It's true.
It's the UK ep is what it is. Arthur Ramsey, we thank you as well for joining the ranks of the Reformatory. And both you and Matthias, we hope you enjoy what you get there. We hope that it's enjoyable. And listeners, you too could join the Reformatory. And for $5 a month, you could join these amazing individuals in becoming a member of the most exclusive Patreon that exists in Reformdom. And you get a lot of cool stuff with that. So we thank you guys for joining us. I'm there. I'm getting there. Don't worry. I'm not going to forget. I'm wanting to give them the shout out that is due to them. Right. But we thank you guys for joining. And our pledge to you has been fulfilled in that your names have been hallowed.
Hallowed
through the halls of the podcast. Yes. Our business is concluded. Our vows have been fulfilled. Jack, my friend, it is time to move on to everyone's favorite segment.
Dude, here we go.
Don't forget to eat your instant grams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams with your host, Josh Loftus and Jack Berry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's how it works.
Oh, my gosh.
If you ask me. Jack, my friend, we have got some...
gosh.
I'm going to give you... Okay. No. I'm going to give you the funny one first. Okay. And then we're going to end with the cringe.
Oh, gosh.
Because the cringe leads into our episode a little better. Whew, but, Jack, I titled this video...
Gosh,
I titled this video, Preacher Uses Force to Kill Piano Player.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm going to play this for you. This one, you really got to see. Like, you really got to see it. It's one of these videos where the more you watch it, the harder that I laugh. Okay, so here you go.
Yes!
Let's put it, hey! Let's put it up on here! Something's taking place right here!
Oh, yes!
Fix up!
What? It's the... What? 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 It's mid thought. Hold on, we gotta watch this again. Watch this again. Watch this.
Let's put it,
dude, she went full corn dog. She went full corn dog. It's talking. Okay, so for those who are listening, you've got what looks like a very charismatic church service. Probably, it looks like in one of the African countries. It's somewhere on the other side of the world. And you've got a very charismatically dressed individual who's preaching, and he's walking across the stage, speaking into the mic, and then all of a sudden, he almost seems like he gets, like, distracted. It looks like the piano player, like, insulted his mama or something like that, because he's walking and he's like, hey! And he turns, and he does, like, a force push, like Obi-Wan Kenobi to General Grievous, and goes... And the piano player just topples over,
just went full
and takes
corn dog.
The keyboard with
dude. Him. Just went full corn dog.
I gotta watch this one more time.
Yes!
Let's put it, hey!
Hey!
Let's put it on guards here! Okay. Something's taking a place right here! Dude.
This is one of the greatest videos ever.
Oh my gosh.
The spirit of. Hey!
Hey! He even made the sound effect too.
I know he gave himself sound effects, and the keyboard player, dude, the keyboard player just rolls with it. He's like, "Yeah, this is normal."
Hey,
hey,
let's put it on guards here. Something's taking a place right here.
That's a hype man.
Do you hear?
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, that you have to watch that like five times, people.
You have to.
To get acquainted with that.
It's so good.
Oh my gosh.
It's so good. Okay. All right, Jack, we got one more. this one, I'm going to try that next Sunday. Our piano player.
Oh my gosh.
Right we're in the middle of us, you know, singing a song. I'll be like, hey! Bam! Force push. Okay, Jack, this next one.
Oh, gosh.
This is what happens when... let me find it here. This is what happens when you are trying so desperately to stay relevant.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, this is what I want you to do for me. And listeners, I want you to do this as well. I'm going to play you this clip. And this one, it doesn't require video. Audio is all you need. I want you to tell me how long you make it through this video until you make the cringe face. Tell us in the comments if you're on YouTube or on the socials. Tell us in the comments how long you made it through this video before your teeth did the little... you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Listen up, fam, because enough with the brain rot, there's no more L's. We're only taking holy W's today. We are standing on business and blessings. God did not make you to be an NPC. You're the main character, dripped out in his love. For real, for real. Today, we're here to catch big vibes, big faith, and leaving that brain rot at the door. So why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking low-key blessed this morning.
No.
All right, squad, let's lock in, get that holy riz up, because it's our praise era and worship like we just got the ultimate victory royale. Let's go!
5 seconds. Took me 5 seconds to know that this was going to be bad.
I want one of the kids on the stage to punch him in the kneecap. That I hate that so much. There's so much about that that I hate with a white hot passion. Like, that's, there's, no one should have to tell you, hey, maybe let's not do that on Sunday morning.
Let's not go full Gen Z.
None of those
slang.
Kids want that.
No.
You're the only one there that thinks it's funny. Yep. You're the only one that thinks it's cool. I'm sorry if you think like, oh, he's trying to be relevant. He's trying.
No.
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 No. No. That's like the 60-year-old guy that buys the Ferrari and dyes his hair black, and he thinks no one's going to notice.
This is like the Family Guy meme where they're all like putting their hands in the middle.
Yeah.
And then Seamus puts his peg leg in the middle. He's like, and Peter goes, No, not you, Seamus.
Not you, Seamus. Yeah. So by way of transition, by way of segueing, Jack, you know what keeps churches from falling into the trap of trying to be so relevant that you end up making a fool out of yourself?
I could say many things. But
Many things. One of the main things is liturgy.
Yeah.
Right? Having a robust liturgical service that is based primarily on the Word of God, that follows the regulative principle, as in how God has regulated, how he has commanded, how he desires to be worshipped. We follow that instead of what we believe will attract people, what the culture wants, what we think the felt needs are of the particular church, and shaping our worship experience around that. A liturgy truly, truly helps because it gives us guardrails. It keeps us from going askew and out into right field of what the purpose of the Lord's Day is and how we are to be conducting ourselves on it. Right, so we have been engaging in this this liturgy series, and it's been great. I've been really enjoying this. I know I say that every time, but I'm a huge liturgy nerd. I'm just a local church nerd. Anything that has to do with like the structure and the polity and the how we do things, I really nerd out about it. It's a lot of fun. Okay, mm-hmm. So last week, and we have to apologize to our listeners because inadvertently, with how busy the last couple weeks have been. My mind has been out the door, and we skipped a very essential, a very important, and a very beneficial part of the liturgy, and skipped straight to preaching of the word. So normally, what goes on in a traditional liturgical service, what happens before the preaching of the word is you have what's known as the pastoral prayer. And we completely skipped over that. We went straight from, I think it was assurance of pardon or reading of the word. I can't remember. Straight to preaching of the word. Mm-hmm. And we skipped pastoral prayer altogether. And my apologies, because I'm the one that kind of structures the episode orders here. And I ran right over that. So we're going to remedy that today, and although we're a little out of order, and what I mean by out of order is that how we have structured the episodes of this series is in order of how most liturgical services go in terms of kind of their order of service, if you will. So traditionally, most of the time, and again, every church does it different, and there's no reason, like there's no right way or wrong way to do it. But most of the time, you see the preaching of the word preceding the pastoral prayer. So meaning the pastoral prayer usually comes first and then usually leads into either another song or leads straight into preaching of the word. So got a little out of order, but that's okay because we're still going to cover it today. So the pastoral prayer is a vital and I would say very important part of a liturgical service. It's the time set aside for the specific purpose of prayer. Right. And obviously in the title, it's led by one of the elders, one of the pastors. We use those terms synonymously because that's what the Bible does. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's the pastoral prayer, the structure of it, the contents of it can vary depending on the church, depending on the elder team, right? Some have a much more structured flow to them. Some are much more, I would say, I don't want to say laid back because that denotes that there's not care or purpose put into it. More casual, perhaps. How about that? So depending on the church that you go to, depending on kind of the tradition of that church or the theology of that church, the pastoral prayer is going to look different. But what I wanted to cover real quick is why the pastoral prayer is important. So why do we do it? I'd like to define what the pastoral prayer is, right? Mm-hmm. And then get into some of the purpose and benefits of what the pastoral prayer does in the Lord's Day service, both individually and corporately. And then we'll get into some practical tips and stuff that I've got later on here. But Jack, before I get into that, does your church do a pastoral prayer? And if so, what's kind of the idea behind it or the focus behind it?
Yeah, we've started to slowly incorporate that more and more into our liturgy. Nice. I feel like we do it a couple times a month now. We don't. Mm-hmm. I don't think we do it every Sunday, but we do it a couple times a month.
Nice.
So a lot of it has to do with one of our pastors going up on stage and proceeding to pray for about 10 minutes mm-hmm. About, I think, our immediate area. So the immediate needs of the church, what people are going through in the church, praying for that, praying for local municipalities, cities that people live in. So mostly mm-hmm. Tacoma, but also Puyallup, yeah. South Hill, the unincorporated little townships in between Tacoma and Puyallup and stuff like that, that folks mm-hmm. live in as well too. Praying for leaders, praying for guidance, praying for provision in the ways of wisdom. And if we're going through something specific, so right now I can think of, we've had a pastoral prayer about finding a building that'd mm-hmm. be suitable for us to, mm-hmm. to for all the church to meet at one service.
Yeah.
So right. Praying for that specifically because we don't want to be in that middle school forever. So we're trying to sure. make it like within the next couple years, trying to find that building. And then yeah. proceeding to probably sell off our building because it's just the way in which our building has been built, we can't add on to it without sure. getting permitted back to yeah. Timbuktu.
Absolutely.
And yeah. then on top of it, yeah. there's a wetland area too. And so we're really yeah. regulated on what and how we build and what we do and
sure.
and all,
sure.
on all that. So I think that's part of the issue too, is that our current building can't really sustain us. So right. we need another building. And then we're probably gonna have to sell off our old building as well too sure. in order to get that going. But
yeah.
So those have been I think starting with the congregation and then you slowly start to move out and out and out and out.
Yeah.
Based upon your proximity, based upon what's happening in whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Trying to think recently we had a pastoral prayer about, older gentleman who was a deacon at our church. He was a deacon for a long time. And then he had health problems. So he stepped off the deacon team and, we kind of honored that. And then he recently passed away.
Oh.
And so we were talking about his kids. I mean, he has full grown kids, but just him and his wife, and his wife's older as well too. And so how do we take care of her as well too? And, right. you know, praying for her and praying for her needs and praying that, you know, there's a decent population of our church that's older.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of walking and kind of talking and praying about those things that come up that, you know, there'd be wisdom, when certain things happen as well too, with yeah. health issues and
yeah.
when it comes to hospice and stuff like that. So, yeah. So it just depends on where you're going with it, but mm-hmm. I would say the smaller concentric circles start with your congregation move to your local general regional area and then go from that all the way up maybe into like national world kind of concentric circle dynamic. So
And that's what's really cool about different local churches is that model, and we'll actually talk about that a little later. Our church does the opposite in that it's the same model, but we start wide and then go in. Right. So it's really cool seeing, and this is what I love just about liturgical services is that the structure is normally for the most part the same, but you get different flavors and applications depending on the particular church. Mm. And that's really, really cool to see. I really like that. Right. Yeah. So as we're talking about the pastoral prayer, let's hop into it, right? So a working definition, this is not a scientific or a strict theological one, but to kind of help the understanding of what a pastoral prayer is, a pastoral prayer is the time set aside in the liturgy where one of the pastors leads the congregation in a time of prayer with the purpose of interceding on their behalf to the Lord, mm-hmm. right? It's important to understand that there's a very specific purpose to the pastoral prayer, right? You are engaging in certain things for certain reasons when you step up there as one of the pastors and lead the congregation in this prayer, right? It's a very priestly function. Although obviously we confess that Jesus Christ is our high priest. Right, he fills that role perfectly on our behalf. Pastoral ministry often contains very priestly and prophet-like duties. Mm. Right, just like the prophet proclaims, "Thus saith to the Lord to the people." That is the job of the pastors, to take the word of God and say, "This is what the Lord of God says." Therefore, go and do. Right. Yeah. Obviously, Christ fulfills that perfectly for us, but just as under-shepherds of Christ, we have a role to play with that function. Same with the priesthood, right? Obviously, Christ is our mediator. He stands between us and the Father. No one's discounting that. But a pastor's job, one of their functions, is to go to the Lord on behalf of their people. Mm-hmm. To lift their people up to the throne room of grace that they might receive the help and the hope that they need. It's a very priestly thing, right? And the pastoral prayer is a outflow of that function for the pastor, right? So a pastoral prayer, why is it important? Let's hop into kind of why we think it's important, and then we'll hop into kind of what it does. Pastoral prayer is important. I kind of have three things here. First, the first one is this: is because prayer, and I don't know if this is what you have found, Jack, but in the circles that I've run in, kind of growing up, and then obviously talking to the different pastors that I know of, and the different circles that I tend to run in, prayer is often lacking, both in the lives of the believers individually, as well as the church corporately. Prayer is often one of the first things that loses its emphasis, especially on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
And the pastoral prayer is a good way to combat that reality, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think too, there's a book that can help people out as well too.
Ooh, resource time. Here we go.
So,
I'd have to put it in the notes.
I think it's just called Prayer by Tim Keller.
Oh yeah.
It's a really, I feel like it's not so much about the mechanics of this is how you should pray.
Yeah.
It's more about talking about why prayer is important, and even just like, if you're not much of a prayer, if you're not much of a person who prays,
yeah,
sometimes the ways in which prayer can get sparked back into your daily rhythms is through looking at different prayers. And Keller talks about this as well, too. And so looking at Valley of Vision, looking at the different prayers. I have two different books One of them is the prayers of the early church fathers. The other one's the prayers of the reformers, and kind of seeing how they prayed as well too.
Yeah.
And then not so much like trying to match word for word what they did, but just like look at the ways in which they're, and I know we're going to talk about this just a little bit further, the ways in which they have adoration towards God, the ways they are confessing, the ways they are giving thanksgiving, the ways they're giving supplication or asking for supplication. Those things are important in understanding. So I think that's a really good book to kind of just walk through, because he does, he gets more of on a practical level and just be like, I think he starts the book off like, well, you thought I'm just going to write about prayer and like how to pray and how to figure this out. It's like, I'm really not doing that. I'm actually more trying to get at the root of why we don't pray or why we need more prayer or how can we go about kind of sparking that back into our spiritual rhythms. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And he keys in on a great need that we have as individuals. Right. And that we have as a church. Right. We've talked about before, I think it was during preaching the word, the importance of covering your sermon prep in prayer and the importance of that and how that's often overlooked. I think what we find, I'm at the front of this line. Prayer is often not the first thing that I run to when I'm struggling. If I am struggling emotionally or spiritually, or I'm dealing with anxiety, or I'm frustrated, or there's just some sort of disorder in my life, right? Prayer is often not the first thing that I go to. I'm often trying to figure it out on my own, trying to figure out the solution. And it's amazing how often I forget the grace that is at my disposal whenever I want it.
Yeah.
Having direct access to the Lord on high, who knows me better than I know myself, knows my struggles, knows my pain, and is there to comfort me, why would I not go there first? Well, there's lots of reasons, right? The sinful nature I still war against, the distractions of this world, my own pride, fill in the blank, right? But the point is, prayer is not emphasized enough, both in our lives and in the church. And the pastoral prayer is one of the answers to that, is that we set aside dedicated time to pray. And in doing so, showcase the importance and confess the importance of it, right? Second, prayer benefits the prayer. We just talked about that, right? There's great benefit in prayer. There's benefit for us. Because we are reminded of the truths that we are confessing as we're praying, that the Lord is sovereign, that the Lord is good, that he loves us, he cares for us, his plan is perfect, and we don't need to worry. And all the other things that come into a pastoral prayer, right? So prayer benefits us, and we don't often go to it enough. Third and finally, prayer informs and it directs our hearts and our minds. And this is what we're going to get into here, is that when one of the functions of a pastoral prayer is this, and this is something to remember when you are engaging in the pastoral prayer, if you're an elder or a pastor and you are given this task, sometimes it's given to the deacons, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pastoral prayer. It's in the name. But, you know, again, depending on the church you're in, right? Different flavors. We're not going to make a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah.
But if you are engaging in the pastoral prayer, something that you should remember as you are leading the congregation is that one of the functions of the pastoral prayer is that you are displaying and teaching the congregation how to pray. You are showing through your prayers where our focus should be, where our mentality should be, where our hearts and our minds should be focused when we pray. That's one of the great benefits of the pastoral prayer, is that it is actually a time of great, not only encouragement, but great edification, and that we are learning together how to pray biblically. What should our prayers look like? Our prayers are often very lackluster. I know that's very true in my life, right? My prayers often consist of just the things that I'm struggling with or just the things that I need. And I'm sure other people listening can you know, raise their hand in that too, right? Mm-hmm. But prayer is supposed to be so much more than just telling the Lord what we need.
Yeah.
Right. And a pastoral prayer, a good pastoral prayer, delivers that, and it shows what prayer looks like and what it can do for not only our minds but our hearts as well. Jack, anything on any of those before we hop into how pastoral prayer directs our focus?
No.
Okay. Love it. Here we go. We're hopping in. Jack's like, please, let's not make this an hour like last
one. Yeah,
no, I get you, dude. I tell you, man, I like nerd out over this stuff. Like, this would be a convo Jack and I would have probably over 2 hours if we were together with cigars. So
yeah, pretty much.
We're trying to condense it here. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, just like Jack explained, and I'm going to, my perspective, keep this in mind. My perspective is not the norm. My perspective is what I have done and how we do things at my particular local church, right? So I'm not saying that this is the only way to do it. This is how I have seen it done, and I think it's very beneficial, right? So Jack described the way that his church does pastoral prayer and that they start with the congregation and they work their way out. That's really cool. I love that. I love that kind of transition focus, right? Mm-hmm. For us at Redeemer, it's the opposite. We think of the pastoral prayer as an ever closing circle, and that we start wide, right? And we start with broad strokes, and then work our way in to the very specific.
Yeah.
Right. So, to help demonstrate that, I have worked up in my head three focuses, three ways that the pastoral prayer should focus our hearts and focus our minds. Okay. First one is this: the pastoral prayer directs our focus upward. Right. Yeah. It focuses our affections, our minds, and our hearts upward toward the Lord. A pastoral prayer should start, I believe, with exalting God.
Mm-hmm.
We proclaim the purpose and the reason that we are there.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes this looks on focusing. So something I like to do when I start a pastoral prayer is each time I'm up for pastoral prayer, something that I try to do is I pick a different attribute of God that the prayer centers around.
Yeah.
Right. So sometimes it's his holiness. Sometimes it's his grace. Sometimes it's his omniscience. And you know, pick truths of God that your prayer, that the theme that theme weaves its way throughout the prayer. You don't have to do that. I find that effective and I find that beneficial. Again, is we're training our congregation. We're training people how to pray. The best prayers begin with proclaiming and confessing truths about God, who he is and what he has done.
Mm.
So it's a focusing on who God is, it's exalting him, it's thanksgiving, right? It's thanking the Lord for who he is, thanking the Lord for his goodness, right? There's often a time of confession, right? Confessing our sins, even though a confession of sin is its own thing, right? That part of directing our focus upward is, Lord, like, thank you for who you are. Forgive me for the ways that I have fallen short. Right?
Yeah.
But then thanking him for the gospel, praising him for the gospel, right? Is that pastoral prayer begins with focusing the church, the minds and the hearts of the people, their affections, focusing it upward. And pointing to the Lord and saying, he is why we're here to worship. He is good. Let's begin our prayers with focusing on him. So it directs our focus upward. That's the first one. Anything on that, Jack?
No, that's spot on.
Okay. What's the next one, Jack? What's number two?
Let me pull this up. The directs our focus inward. Is that one going forward or outward?
Yep. It's outward next.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the upward and then directs our focus outward. So prayer for the lost, prayer for the country, state, missionaries, other faithful churches. I kind of talked about this and those, and we kind of went over this concentric circle stuff, but
yeah,
but yeah, that outward, I mean, the adoration first and then starting to, I think this is the, this isn't so much the confession piece, but this is the thankful giving Thanksgiving and then asking for supplication for other things as well too, going on in your area and in your local church.
Yeah. And I think it's a great opportunity too, for people to see, like, you know, there's a lot of talk these days about what the church's place is in the culture. Right. And there's a lot of really bad takes out there.
Oh yeah.
Right. In terms of how the church should engage with culture.
Oh my gosh.
Should the church be defining and taking over culture? Should we be shunning culture altogether? There's a lot of takes. Most of them are very bad. This is what we know.
Yeah.
Right. We know that we are called to be in the world, but not of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we know that we should be seeking the good of the city that we are in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And one of the primary ways that we do that is through prayer. It should be through prayer.
Yeah.
Right. There's nothing wrong with during that pastoral prayer, taking time to pray to the Lord and thanking him for the freedoms that we have.
Yeah.
But also something that we will do is we'll take time to pray for the salvation of our leaders.
Yeah.
And that they would reign and rule justly.
Yeah.
Through the word of God. Right.
Yeah.
Because they have been saved. Right. We want our leaders to come to know Jesus.
Yeah.
And to come to a knowledge of the gospel. We want that. We should have a desire for that.
Yeah.
Right. We pray that for our country. We pray that for our state. We pray that for the city that we find ourselves in, as mm-hmm. we want our leaders to rule justly, not with corruption. And to be very clear, we in Washington know a good amount about leaders leading out of corruption. And we pray for their salvation.
Yeah.
Right. We pray for that. And that's a good thing to pray for. Right. We pray for the lost. We pray for those in our city and in our country and in the world that need to hear the gospel. We pray that the gospel would go out to people, right? And we thank the Lord for the faithful men and women that have taken on that task of proclaiming the truth of the gospel.
Yeah.
Those that are missionaries in other countries, right? The missionaries, we take special time to pray for the missionaries that we support as a church.
Yeah.
And thank the Lord for their courage and their strength and their resolve to follow the Great Commission. To go out to the ends of the earth, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right? We take time to do that. All right? And we also thank the Lord for the other faithful churches that are in our area, those that we are in community with, those that are preaching a true gospel, that love the lost, love their people. We pray for their elders. We pray for their deacons. We pray for their members. Right? Some churches will take one church, like one particular church every mm-hmm. Sunday and pray for that particular church. Yeah. That's super cool. I love that. Right? And you're actually praying for a specific local church.
Yeah.
That's a really cool practice.
Yeah, right? We do that, especially so we're a church that's in a church planting network.
Yep.
So right now, like, we have two churches that we've been praying for. One of them is in Sheridan, Wyoming.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, there's a church plant out there that we pray for.
Yeah.
And then the other one is in like the heart of like Denver in and of itself. So,
yeah, it's a really encouraging email to get from churches when the email will say something of the like, hey, you guys are the church that we are praying for as a congregation this Sunday. What are some ways that we can pray for you?
Yeah.
Dude, that's such an encouraging email. And churches that take the time to do that specifically, it's great. It's great. And the pastoral prayer is a fantastic time to do that because you're training your congregation. Yeah. Again, let's not lose the element of training how to pray here, teaching how to pray. You're teaching your congregation the importance of praying for others, to not just let your prayers be inward, but your prayers be outward, right? They have an upward focus and they have an outward focus, right? We're praying for other believers. We're praying for other churches. We're lifting them up to the throne of grace as well, asking God to bless them. A good pastoral prayer models that and models how we should be praying as Christians. Okay. Third and finally, so we pastoral prayer directs our focus upward. It directs our focus outward, and then it directs our focus inward, right? And what I mean by that is that what we do at Redeemer is that, again, it's that kind of large, it's that circle. It's that ever closing in circle, right? So it starts very wide and then works its way in. And then what we conclude on here at our local church is that we end our pastoral prayers praying for our specific church. So it's prayers specifically for our congregation. And this is really, really beneficial because it's so important for your congregation to know that their pastors are praying for them.
Yeah.
That's really important and really special. And the pastoral prayer is a great time to show that truth, to display that truth, to put to and to showcase, if you will, that a large part of being a pastor means that I am praying for all of you. And we model that in our pastoral prayer. Right? So we're praying for those that are in distress, right? We're praying for those that need healing. We're praying for those that are dealing with all types of ailments. And we're praying that Christ, the great physician of both the body and the mind, would be a comfort to them.
Yeah.
And he would show himself to them, and they would receive peace that comes through the gospel, right? We're praying for our own elders. I pray for us elders every pastoral prayer that the Lord would remind us that we are under shepherds, that we would lead out of humility and not pride, that we would take our roles seriously, right? That he would keep us from corruption, right? We pray for our deacons. We pray for our members. That's really, really important to do. It's really important for the congregation to see that. And then finally, how we usually end our pastoral prayers is we pray for the morning itself, that whoever's preaching, the Lord would bless the word being preached, that he would cause it to land on our hearts and our minds, and that we would be blessed as a congregation as we hear from the word of God.
Yeah.
And then our pastoral prayer kind of leads right into the preaching of the word. So it directs our focus inward, and that we are praying for our particular local church, our particular body, right? The needs that we have. And it gives that understanding and gives that focus that the congregation is prayed for. They're cared for by their pastors, and the pastoral prayer is a great way of showing that.
Yeah.
So, anything on that last one, Jack? Any of the praying for the congregation or the elders or the deacons? Or
I could say stuff, but I don't want to go on too long. I'll save it for the podlucks.
There we go. Yeah, we can continue it over there. Okay. Yeah. So, a good pastoral prayer directs our focus upward, outward, and inward. Mm-hmm. And the flavors might be different. The structure might be different. That's what I have found. That's what we've found good pastoral prayers are structured with and for. So if you guys have, before we get into kind of practical tips, if you guys have any listeners, anything to add or questions on that, please ask. Again, there's no one way to do a pastoral prayer.
Yeah.
A resource that I have found, is, I think Jack mentioned Valley of Vision. That's a really great one. I enjoy that. I'm not a fan of just carbon copy prayers, right? We'll get into that in the practical tips here in a minute, but it can be a great things to glean from as well as to utilize. There's a great book. Oh, Jack, you're going to have to help me with the author.
Okay.
But praying through the Psalms.
Is it Donald Whitney?
That sounds really familiar.
I think it might be Don Whitney, who is at Southern Baptist
Theological. Praying, is it praying with the Psalms?
Either or.
No, that one's Eugene. That one's Eugene Peterson. That one's not that. No, I'm not recommending that one. Sorry. Anyway, I think it's Whitney. I think you're right. Anyway.
Yeah.
What I have done sometimes as a pastoral prayer is I've taken a particular psalm and I've split it up.
Mm-hmm.
and utilized that as kind of the outline and the substance of the pastoral prayer.
Yeah.
And that's been really cool. That's been really effective, because not only are you doing a pastoral prayer, which is very beneficial, but you're also praying scripture, right? And you're showing the importance of utilizing scripture to inform our prayers and how important that is, right?
Did
you find it?
No, I didn't find it. I was looking through my library as well too, because I have two recommendations people should look at on prayer. One of them is, so like we talked about, you know, when I talked about Tim Keller and prayer and stuff like that, sometimes what helps you pray is looking at other people's prayers. And so the two books that I go to often and look at and just think about, to help my prayer life is, both of the books are by a guy named Robert Elmer, E-L-M-E-R. One of them is called Fount of Heaven, which is Prayers of the Early Church. And the other one is called Grace from Heaven, Prayers of the Reformation.
Ooh,
so I like got kind of the dual church fathers and the both the church fathers of the early church and the Reformation. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I just found the one I was thinking of. It's Praying the Bible.
Oh,
by Donald Whitney.
Okay.
And that one's only like $7. So Praying the Bible by Donald Whitney, great book, kind of shows like the extreme benefit of utilizing scripture again to inform and structure your prayers. It's really, really cool. So, okay, some practical tips, right? One of the practical tips that I would have when wanting to focus or structure a pastoral prayer, right? Some people, they look at the concept of a pastoral prayer and it's kind of daunting, because they're like, wow, well, it sounds like it's really important. It sounds like it should incorporate some different stuff. I don't even know where to start. And I don't want to pull a Mark Driscoll and just copy something off the internet and say that it was mine, right?
Yeah.
Good. You should do that, right? One method that I have found, and again, it's not for everybody, but something, especially if you're first kind of getting started. Jack, have you heard of the ACTS model of praying?
I have heard of the ACTS.
Really model beneficial. Of I really like it, right? So ACTS, A-C-T-S, it's kind of the structure and the flow of the prayer. It starts with adoration, right? That's that upward, right? Praising the Lord for who he is. And then C, into confession, right? Is confessing our sins, as well as confessing the truth of our need, right?
Yeah.
And then T, thanksgiving, thanking the Lord for who he is and what he's done through the gospel, and then supplication, asking the Lord for the things that we need to meet our needs, things like that. So A, C, T, S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Great way to structure your pastoral prayer. It really is, right? Yeah. You don't have to do kind of the wide circle in or the small circle out, right? If you utilize the ACTS model, it's a great way to do it, because all your bases are pretty much going to be covered there. So that's one practical tip. If you're looking for a place to start, use the ACTS model. It's really awesome. It's really practical and it works well. Second, it's okay. And this is something that is not popular, but it needs to be said, is it's okay if the pastoral prayer goes a little long.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously, how do I want to say this? Obviously, like be gracious about it.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
You know, I think it was whose prayer? Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry put out and has out there kind of his structure for prayer, like the things that he includes in prayer. If you followed that, it'd be like 45 minutes. It'd be like 45 minutes in prayer, which, dude, I mean, again, I just got done saying we don't pray enough. So go for it. But maybe for the Lord's Day service, where we have other things that we are focusing on, maybe not for that, right?
Yeah.
Most pastoral prayers that I have found go in between usually 7 and 12 minutes, right in there. Sometimes they stretch to 15. I know if my wife's listening, she's going to be like, dude, you've never had a 7-minute pastoral prayer. I understand. Sometimes, so right around like 10 minutes is, I would say, average for a pastoral prayer, but it's okay if it goes a little longer. It's supposed to, right? Yeah. This isn't just a really quick flash in the pan part of the service. It's one of the elements of a liturgical service. We take our time with it. And in taking our time with it, we showcase its importance, right? Mm-hmm. So that's okay. Again, remember, you're teaching the congregation how to pray. It's one of the functions of the pastoral prayer. So you want it to have breadth, and yeah, you want it to have substance, right? And that takes time. That's okay. Third and finally, nothing wrong at all with using resources. Jack and I just listed a whole bunch of great resources. A lot of people that I know use things like the Valley of Vision to use their prayers. What I would advise is to make sure that in the usage of resources, you are not losing the personal nature that the pastoral prayer is supposed to have, right? Because at the end of the day, you got to remember, it's still a pastor praying for their people.
Yeah.
Right? The Valley of Vision is great. I love it. It's a great resource, and there's nothing wrong with using it, copy and pasting in it, and using it for, you know, parts of your prayer and things like that. But we have to remember that we have a set people that have been placed in our care that have specific things they need prayed for. Don't lose the personal nature that the pastoral prayer is supposed to have, because you are, again, interceding on behalf of your people to the Lord.
Yeah.
You're bringing your people, their needs, their struggles, right? The things that they are going through, you're bringing that to the Lord. And as their pastor, you are lifting that up to the throne of grace, right? So utilize the resources. There's a lot of really great mm-hmm. resources out there. But just like Christ modeled in his high priestly prayer, it was very personal. He prayed specifically mm-hmm. for people, right? Yeah. So let's make sure not to, in our effort to try to find and utilize good resources, we don't lose the heart of what the pastoral prayer is supposed to be, right? Yeah. So that's about it. We could talk more, but the pastoral prayer, super important, really great time within the Lord's Day service. It directs our focus upward, outward, and inward, and it's a great blessing to the congregation in seeing the care that their pastors have for them, as well as a great time of training to show the congregation, hey, when we pray, it's not just a flash in the pan experience. It has structure and it has substance. This is how we pray. And this is why it's important, right? So
yeah,
a good pastoral prayer, however your church does it, whatever kind of flavor it you know, your yours has, it's important, and it should have substance to it. So, Jack, anything to add before we get out of here?
I can't think of anything, to be quite honest.
I feel like I monologued most of that. Like that was just kind of a briefing. That was reformatory, the briefing edition.
Oh, well, it's fine. Well.
It's all right. Jack promises to talk more on the next
one. Yeah, I will.
Why don't you get us out of here?
Yeah. With that being said, if y'all are interested in just continuing to be engaged with the series on liturgy, and then in subsequent episodes as well, too. And if you care about your local church, and if you like our stance and what we're going for here on the Reformatory is making the local church central to the believer's life, you can follow us on the sociables, especially, this next couple weeks where we're doing the giveaway. So that's please right. Share, reshare, repost, retweet, whatever. And you can do that through the metaverse, the Facebook, if you will, mm-hmm. the Instagram goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, and apparently heretics as well too.
That's right.
And also, you can check us out on the Twitter or the sociable, formerly known as Twitter X. Mm-hmm. So you can find us at the sociables at the tag at Reformatory Pod. You can drop us, like I said, episode idea, question, people. I've been hearing lately, people want us to have more guests on the pod, but y'all need to help us out with that. We know who's asking these questions.
I don't know. It's not a lot of cool people out there, Jack. We want cool people on the podcast.
Anyway, you can follow us at Josh. You can tell them how they might support us in these other different ways here.
Absolutely. Well, if you want to watch this pod as well as listen to it, head on over to YouTube. You guys know the drill. We're over there. Like, comment, subscribe. Hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We'd appreciate that. Like Jack said, get in on that giveaway, right? Don't forget, use the promo code Reformatory at Broken Wharf to get 10% off your purchases all month of August. And we will be doing the giveaway drawing August 22nd. We'll be announcing all of the winners, two winners, on the social. So get in before the 22nd. And let's see, I think that all that's left is, Patreon is just like Matthias and, and Arthur, King Arthur, Matthias and King Arthur. Make sure to head on over there just like those two legends did. And for $5 a month, you could have bonus episodes that are all yours. Reformatory chat where you can share pictures and things you're enjoying, right? The good gifts that God has given you. You can enjoy them there with other like-minded folks. And our pledge to you is that if you do so, your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.